Hey guys, what's going on? Kyle here. Episode 1 of the Nerd Alert Podcast. Welcome everybody. This is my first podcast. I'm pretty excited to see where this goes. Happy you're all here with me. So let's just jump right into this. So couple bits of things that have gone on. This week, Google announced that they are not doing a physical Google I.O. event due to the fear of coronavirus, which is probably the best thing they could do right now. They're doing it remotely, which I'm okay with, because then we'll get to see the Pixel 4a, the public beta of Android 11 will be out, and hopefully, we get the Pixel Buds 2, because I've been dying to get my hands on those. But yeah, Android 11, I jumped the gun, and instead of waiting for the public beta, I flashed it to my Google Pixel 2 XL. That's sort of my test device. So far, for being just a very entry-level developer preview, where it's sort of like, don't flash this at all unless, you know, you have a test device. And so far, it's been pretty good. The things that I've kind of noticed is, if you hold the power button down, it brings up your, like, medical cards and any cards you have saved in Google Pay, which is pretty cool for convenience. It's going to bring a lot of just general stability and stuff. It seems like they're trying to do more of refining on everything as opposed to trying to push more and more and more features. I think that's a good point for them to just be, you know, they see what they have and they're just going to keep improving on it. I like that because that's where that whole feature drops comes into play. And that's going to make things a little easier. They can focus on the system and then drop these features at random times. So it's been a pretty good experience. We'll see the first public beta come out in, I think it's like next month, maybe the month after, something like that. Let's see, what else do they have in there? Bubbles, that's a new thing. Android's kind of adding like Facebook Messenger style chat heads to your texting app, which is, I personally think that's a good idea because I play some games on my phone and it makes it so much easier just to keep that bubble there and I can go through and see the whole conversation without having to leave the game that I'm in. What else? We're finally getting a built-in system recorder so we can, if we ever want to capture our screen and show it to people, we can. Very happy about that. It's kind of janky in the first developer preview, but obviously, since that's going to be a part of the system, it's just going to get better with each preview before they release it. What else? The permissions, they got a little bit of an overhaul. Instead of it being allow in this app, allow always, or deny, they're now only limiting it to you can only use it when you're in the app or just one time only. They're never going to let you be able to do allow all the time, which that's just them trying to bulk up on security, which I can understand that. That's a pretty decent thing. What else? We're getting scrolling screenshots, which is kind of funny because I think like a year or two ago, a couple Google people just laughed at that. They're like, no, that's never coming to us. We're not getting that. Sorry. Well, here it is. Go figure, right? What else? We are getting a new motion sense gesture for the Pixel 4 and probably the Pixel 5, because I assume that's going to have Soli in it too. I don't think they just scrap Soli after the first year. Instead of being able to swipe back and forth with your hand to change songs, you can now like push your hand a little closer to the screen and back, and that'll pause and play your music. So I'm kind of liking the direction they're going with that. We're getting a new sharing menu. This time we're going to be able to pin. So if we share frequently to this contact or to Facebook, we can pin that in the share bar. So whenever we go to share, it's right there ready for us. So I like that. But that's pretty much it for Android 11 so far. just yesterday they released a bug fix update for it for some just basic critical stuff. So probably towards the middle to end of this month, we'll see another like full out developer preview released. And as usual, I'll jump on that, put that in, and give you guys an update on that. What else is next? Okay. Those of you guys that use YouTube Music, I use it all the time. I used to be a Spotify guy, but ever since YouTube Music's been making this transition and sort of killing off Google Play Music, I love where it's going. Right now we've got, we can upload any MP3s that we have. We can basically download our Google Play library and just upload the MP3s to YouTube Music. And then that way we don't have to pay for the subscription. We can play with the screen off and everything, which I love that. They should honestly make that a free tier thing too. You just get the ads, but maybe they'll do that eventually. But the big news is it's getting a whole overhaul of the Now Playing screen. And I saw a couple things from Droid Life and stuff like that with it, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it. It looks way more modern. It doesn't look like it was just kind of hastily thrown together. It's going to have lyrics. So any songs you look up, you can have the ability to look at lyrics. They're making it easier to download and add the songs to your playlist. You just tap the album art and it gives you little icons that you can do it right from there. It's looking pretty good, but the only thing is it's a server-side update, so I've been constantly just doing everything I can, clearing the cache, uninstalling and reinstalling to see if I got the update, but I haven't yet. Which sucks, but oh well. Alright, what else? This one's actually kind of interesting. It kind of ties in with Android 11, because some of those things that I said about Android 11 dropped in this month's Pixel feature drop. For those of you guys who don't know what that is every so often, Google will just grab these different small amounts of features, bundle them together, and just drop them to you within, like, the next security patch. And something else that's pretty cool worth noting, with this feature drop, a lot of Pixel owners didn't get the new car crash detection that's on the Pixel 4. Well, with this drop, they did. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it basically, if you're driving and you have this turned on and you get into a car accident, the phone picks up on the motion that the phone goes through in the car, whether it's in your pocket or on like a mount, and it goes off of ambient sound. So it will notice that you're in a car accident and it'll give you like 3 seconds to say, yeah, I'm okay. Or what it'll do is it'll call the cops for you or your local authorities and give them your location and say, you know, there's been an accident, here's this information. And if you put your medical info, it'll tell them your medical info. So they have it right then and there. So far, that's pretty awesome. I like that a lot because, I mean, in today's age, everybody's got their phone on them. And, you know, if you get into an accident where you can't call 911, your phone will do it for you. All right. So now we're moving on to my time with the Pixel 4 XL and Google Stadia. So the Pixel 4 came out, I think it was last September, October, one of those two. It's usually around there. And at first, I always get the new Pixels. That's always the thing. But I was kind of not too thrilled about this one. It had a smaller battery than usual. Started out at 64 gigs, which, come on, you got to stop. Like, come on, Google, you can do better than that. And as usual, the cameras were amazing. So once I got it, I was tinkering with it, and I fell in love with it. It is one of my favorite Pixel phones ever. The build quality is just top notch. The cameras are absolutely mind-blowing, including the night sight with the astrophotography. I've dropped a couple photos that have just blown my mind. The 90 hertz refresh rate, ever since having that, I can't go back. Like, it's way too smooth. Like, if I'm playing Pokemon Go and it switches back to 60 hertz, it almost hinders me being able to play because it's just that big of a difference. So hopefully, maybe this year with Pixel 5, we get a 120Hz display. But that's wishful thinking. What else? The performance has been amazing. I've not had a problem with performance. And surprisingly, battery life. Though having a smaller battery, battery life's not been bad. My Pixel 3 seemed to have gotten a little bit better battery. But, I mean, you've got Soli, you've got the 90Hz display, the higher resolution display. So, I mean, that's bound to take up a little more battery. I wouldn't recommend the small Pixel 4. If you're thinking about getting that, just jump to the XL and call it a day, because you're going to get a very disappointing battery to anyone. Other than that, I mean, the charging is fast, but it's not as fast as it could be. Like with the OnePlus, some of the Samsungs. Doesn't charge that fast, but it does hold a good charge. Audio on it is pretty good. They ditched having the two front-facing speakers, which, I mean, I had them once and I couldn't live without them, but this is a different situation. It's okay with it. The screen is fantastic. I think DisplayMate gave it a solid A+ for it. And, I mean, I haven't seen any problems with it. No burn-in or nothing like that. But, I mean, when it comes to Pixels, I'm learning my lesson. Don't ever really buy them the day they come out. Because usually they come out right before Black Friday. And then since now that the Pixel 4 is on all major carriers, so I'm assuming the Pixel 5 will be as well, Black Friday sales are just going to tank that price and you're going to feel like a goof like I did. Because I think they offered, it was a Pixel 4 and you got something else with it. And it was really cool. And I'm like, oh, man, really wish I would have got that. But oh well, I guess it is what it is. But that's the Pixel 4. Not phone of the year by any means, but it is a heck of a phone to get you through the day, and good for media, YouTube, games, all that stuff. It's definitely a good all-around phone. Doesn't justify the price. The price, if they made it, say, a $600 phone, the Pixel 4 would dominate. But they had to ramp the price up, but that's okay. So, do I recommend if you get it with the price drops that are going on now with it? Yes, absolutely. But at this point, it's kind of almost a moot point because, you know, you've got just a couple more months until they announce the 5, then you can get that Black Friday for super cheap. You could even get the 4 on Black Friday this year for super cheap. But moving on from that, we're going to talk about something I'm excited to talk about because this has gotten a lot of flack from people. And I personally am one of the biggest supporters for it. And a lot of my friends are like, oh, you like Google, so of course you're going to support it. Even if I didn't, this is a big step for gaming. And even Xbox, Microsoft even said, we're no longer competing with Nintendo and Sony. Our biggest competitors now are Google and Amazon because of the cloud gaming services. So Google Stadia launched back in November. And at first I pre-ordered the Founders Edition. Then a lot of people were starting to cancel it. So I'm like, I better cancel it too. So I canceled it. And another, maybe like a month or two later, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to jump on the gun. Let's do it. Because you get 3 months of Stadia Pro. And just a bunch of different stuff. So I was like, whatever. So I ordered it and I hooked it up and it blew me away. Because having Stadia Pro, I was able to get Borderlands 3 for, I think, like $20 outright. And it wasn't like any of the DLCs or anything. It was just the base game. But that's still pretty good. Since if you're Stadia Pro, you get heavily discounted games. And you get every month, you get a series of free games. So at that time, it was like all the Tomb Raiders. You could get Farming Simulator. Now we're like all the way up to Thumper, Metro Exodus, bunch of other games. So far, my experience with it has been extremely positive. I've got a solid 100 meg connection. And it works pretty good on my laptop, my Chromebook, my phone, my TV, all of it. And that's the cool part about it. It's basically the reason I say that it's such a big step for gaming is because if you really think about it and you're playing a PlayStation game or an Xbox game, you got to think anytime you move, that has to ping the server, which then pings to everybody else's devices. So that latency is a little higher than usual. But with Stadia, you're pinging from your local device right to the server that the game is housed on. And along with it being housed in the server, you don't ever have to worry about updating or anything. That game's up to date right then and there. So if someone's like, oh, this patch, we just released it, you know, at 12 o'clock. By then, you jump on, you'll have that patch. One of the features that they haven't added yet, and it's the feature I'm just beyond excited for because it's awesome. Since it's Stadia and it's Google, it's going to obviously have YouTube integration. But they're taking that a step further. And when you're, say, watching a Let's Play, or if you're struggling with something and you're watching a walkthrough for it, you can jump right into that point that they're at in the game. So if they're in this particular location and you're far away from that and you're watching their walkthrough, you can jump right to where they're at to start what you need to do. And I think that is just awesome. And they can do those kinds of things. And that's where I think it puts it way ahead of everybody else. You can even adjust the frequency. So, like, if you don't want 4K and all the high-end stuff, you can drop that down to a lower level and get higher frame rate, but lower graphics quality. So you can sort of adjust things to the way you want them to be. All around, it's a pretty good console. It's not, like, up to the, you know, the light of a PlayStation, a Switch, or an Xbox by any means. But, you know, if Google keeps on this, if Google sticks with this and just keeps rolling out the punches with it, it's going to be good, especially with the Google Assistant integration, because you could be playing a game and go, hey, Google, record that. And I'm pretty sure I just set off, like, 30 of my devices. And you can even share with your friends, and then you can go, hey, Google, invite this person, you know, bring so-and-so into the game, and they can jump right in. So they're really doing a lot of cool stuff with Stadia. A lot of the stuff was supposed to come at launch, but they've been kind of, like, pushing it back, which is fine, because I'm the kind of person that would rather get it later and it be perfected than get it sooner and it be buggy. And for $129, I've been recommending people, like, if you want to just try it. I mean, I get that some people don't have $129 to just throw around. Heck, I don't. I use the Google credit. But it's definitely awesome. It's definitely fresh. It's different. And I personally like it. Granted, the game choices aren't that big. But they announced that by the end of this year, I think they said they're going to add like 120 new games. So I think that's averaging about, you know, 10 games a month. So that's not too bad. But I, for one, am excited to see where Stadia goes. You know, even if it doesn't end up as like this big revolutionary thing, it still has a lot of perks for the price that it is. I would recommend, if anyone's even curious, just look it up. It's pretty cool, because all it is just a controller and a Chromecast Ultra. And the cool thing is, if, you know, I'm playing on the TV and I want to just switch to my laptop, all I have to do is just open a web browser and start playing. It's all web browser on computers, Chromebooks, and, I mean, that's pretty advanced at this time, because it's all progressive web apps. But that's Stadia. Stadia is $129, but for those that are curious about this whole cloud gaming thing, give it a shot. Let me know what you think, because I'm curious to see what other people think about it. It's very up in the air A lot of people are like, yeah, it's really cool. I love it. And some people are like, ah, no, it's dead. It's, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. But, you know, Google does have a knack for killing things off pretty quick. They'll bring something out and kill it, which they've invested a lot of stuff into Stadia. So here's hoping that it sticks around for a while. The free base should be coming out. It was going to come out this month, but they pushed it back a little bit. So it's going to be like mid-summer. So you just get the free tier, and any of the free games they offer, you'll get to play. And then you can just buy the games outright and play them. And if you want to get Stadia Pro, that's just $10 a month, and you get, you know, the really good deals. You get to play in 4K. Those are really the only two big, like, positives of having that. But, yeah, definitely check it out. By all means, let me know what you guys think. If you guys have any suggestions, anything that you would like to hear next, if there's something you want me to take a look at and, you know, give you my thoughts on it, if there's a laptop, Chromebook, phone, anything, let me know. I'm always available, and you can email me at nerdalertpc@gmail.com. Looking forward to hear you, and I'll see you guys soon.